boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, lads and lasses, those who don't prescribe to a gender, welcome to the Pod of the Dragon podcast. It's a recap podcast after episode 6 of House of the Dragon. Spencer, House of the Dragon episode 6, we got the 10-year time jump. What did you think?
It really did. You told me before that they had originally planned, the original writer had planned, that this would actually be the start of the series, and that George R. Martin kind of convinced him to do an extra 5 episodes to provide additional background. It felt like that. This felt like very much the start of a series. I don't mean that as a criticism. It was well acted. It was well paced. It set all the pieces in motion. But it was a little jarring in the sense that how much it was really restarting the entire pace of the series. Sorry, your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it felt like the first 5 episodes was sort of like a prelude almost to like a novel.
Mm-hmm.
Where you get like a completely different time period, maybe some of the same characters, maybe not, but kind of a whole different thing going on. And then it jumps and now we're in the real story. And I think I think it's going to be jarring for a lot of folks. But I also think it was probably, what I worry about is that some of the things that happened in the episode aren't necessarily like emotionally impacting, because like I care about Laena Velaryon. But like, does the fucking casual care about Laena Velaryon? Like, I'm not sure. We've not seen her very much. And then all of a sudden, bam, we see her. And then we have this epic end, which we'll talk about, you know, how they chose to do that. And the same thing with Harwin Strong, right? Like, we didn't get a lot of Harwin Strong before they fucking burned him to death. Like, so I don't know if they've done, I know they've done enough to get us to care about Alicent Rhaenyra. I don't know if they've done enough to get us to care about some of the other characters or not. That's my worry.
I think it's a fair worry, particularly for like Laena, of where how many actresses did we have of her before we got to the end? This was the third actress.
This is
now
the third, and then so the last two were one episode apiece.
Yeah, they did well enough for one episode to get us to care about the characters. Given that for both of these characters, effectively this was their episode where we got to spend a little bit of time with them and see what they were about. I think they did it fairly well, but as a result of this being a time jump going into this episode, we didn't have much build-up to it, which is unfortunate, given how important these series of events were. I think for a single episode, it was good. I mean, this is the finest overall cast of acting we've had yet on the show. I'm very confident now that I've seen all these actors on the screen that they're going to kill it with respect to their roles. But the time jumps in the show have been a little bit problematic, and this felt, I think, the most jarring of one yet, even if the episode itself stood well on its own.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, is like, great point about the time jump. I think we're going to hear a lot about it, would be my guess, is that any critique of this season so far will probably be the time jumps and the pacing. But let's set that aside for just a second. What did you think of the episode, considering, you know, we did start 10 years in, and then we got these events.
Purely viewing it from its start to its end, I thought it was very well paced. I thought it was very well written. I thought it was very well acted. It covered a lot of important events. It had some of the more powerful scenes we've had yet on the show, and I think it deserves to be credited for that. I am curious to know whether you are satisfied with our final reveal of Vhagar, though, which felt surprisingly matter-of-fact rather than built up.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was great. I mean, I didn't need a big, like, you know, is that Vhagar's music situation? I really didn't need that. Matter of fact, I love that they gave Vhagar a different face. He looked more like a horse. He looked very different than the other dragons, which I appreciated. He looked much bigger than he or she looked much bigger than the other dragons. I really appreciated that. I will say this, though. Let's just say it. Laena's death is different in the books.
Yes, it is. This is much more.
I am not sure my Vhagar would do that. I'm really sort of torn on that moment of how they chose, because like obviously like what I think they were trying to convey, you tell me if you got the same thing, was that like it was like, okay, Vhagar heard the command, saw Laena, knew what was happening, took a beat, thought, and said, okay, this is the way she wants to go, I'll do it. It seemed like they were giving the dragon a lot more agency than maybe some of the other dragons get, which is okay for me, because I mean, I always thought Vhagar was one of the smartest dragons we have, but I'm not sure that the Vhagar I know from the books would have burned its own writer. That seems crazy.
It very much that's what they were going for, of where they wanted to give her a certain degree of command over her own death and demise, rather than just be another woman that is dying on the show as a result of childbirth, another woman who is having her, you know, overall control of her death taken away from her. So I understand why they did that, and it was an impactful scene in that regard. I also agree with your interpretation of Vhagar, where it seemed like we got to see a certain amount of questioning and doubt and second-guessing by a dragon here with respect to a command from its rider, which was interesting. Would Vhagar do this? Well, we never got to see Vhagar do anything like this in the books, so it's hard to say.
I'm just not sure Vhagar would burn its own dragon. I mean, Vhagar's had multiple dragon riders at this point.
Yes.
It knows the deal. Better than probably better than Laena does. Like, it's almost like that type of horse where, you know, the person who's never ridden a horse before, you always give it, like, the very experienced horse, and then they get on, and the horse is kind of like, I know you told me to go right now, but, like, I'm not going
to This is the better thing to do.
Exactly. Like, that's how Vhagar always seemed to me. It would be shocking to me that Vhagar would burn its own rider. That seems a little nuts. But I'll tell you this, dramatic moment.
I don't actually know offhand, have we had a self-immolation by means of dragon before?
No. That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, is there any precedent for a dragon burning its own rider, even on command? And no, nowhere in the books does this occur.
Okay, it's an addition. I'm not certain how I feel about it. I think I'm going to ultimately be more in favor of it than you are, but we'll have to see.
Yeah. What did you think of the difference in how Emma D'Arcy acted Rhaenyra? Because there was a stark difference in how they acted it.
I very much liked the changes to the characters felt very realistic for the 10-year gap and where we last left them, both for Rhaenyra and for Alicent, of where I can clearly still see the characters there, but I can see the effect of 10 years of maturity, childbirth, stresses of office, and everything else upon them and how they've adjusted in that regard. I thought Emma D'Arcy knocked it out of the park with respect to the role and what she's bringing and her own having to accept the weight of office and the dangers of being the heir upon her. We've been talking how frustrating it was for Rhaenyra to not take seriously her role and her duties and what was necessary for her to do with respect to claiming her position, you know, her goal of the Iron Throne. This is the Rhaenyra that is now doing that. She isn't happy with any of it. She hates it, but she's doing what's necessary finally. And on the same token, we've got Alicent, who's very much playing the role of her father. She even gave her oldest son a very similar speech to the one that we last saw from her father. And it's killing her. The stress is visibly breaking her apart, which is great. I thought the new actress really, really felt like, you know, the last actress's older sister in terms of how she played the role and the mannerisms and the intense pressures of the office upon her.
Yeah. We'll struggle with the pronouns, but I think it's actor with Emma D'Arcy.
Sure. Of that. Yes. Yeah, apologies.
We're doing our best. Sorry.
Yes.
So I thought that the way Emma D'Arcy acted Rhaenyra was very different. I did not expect how Rhaenyra was a little bit more prickly with Laenor than I expected. I thought they had a little bit more of a more friendly, collegial sort of relationship. That's what I got from the books, that they were really sort of a partnership. And they released this little 1-minute clip of Laenor helping her, you know, take the baby up to Alicent, which was basically just a super transparent, like, is the baby black thing. That's all that was.
Obviously.
And it seemed like they were sort of this partnership. But the whole rest of the episode, save for the very end, she's sort of like, really antagonistic to Laenor. I didn't expect that.
It worked for me, though. It wasn't really him, necessarily. He wasn't helping the position because he was constantly trying to find ways to get away from home and anything else along those lines. But it seemed more that she was snapping at him as a result of the pressures that she was getting from the rumors that were spreading in court with respect to Harwin Strong. And by the end of the episode, when those rumors had effectively left and she decided the best thing that they could do was, you know, exit stage right themselves, she immediately gives him a bone. She immediately says, we're leaving, we're going together, I'm heeding your advice, and oh yeah, make sure to bring your paramour with you. Which all really felt like an apology on her part of, I know I was a dick this episode to you, I'm sorry, let's get okay. Out of here altogether.
Yeah, all right. You know what? That makes sense. That I like the framing there. She was feeling pressure, she was snapping at him, and at the end, they just kind of threw him a bone.
They reconciled.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. Maybe they still are more of a team than maybe I was getting this episode, simply because she was in a position of extreme stress.
In terms of relative teams, I think Rhaenyra and Laenor are doing quite a bit better than Alicent and Viserys are right now.
I'll tell you, this Viserys, fascinating on screen. but not the Viserys that I know from the books. Is it, you know, I understand why George now said this is just the show canon, basically. Just, show's doing something different because it's a very fascinating character. But Viserys in the books says, if I hear one more person question the parentage of my daughter's children, I will take their tongue. I don't care if they're royalty or not. Mm-hmm. He says, I'll take it. Basically, what he was saying is, I will take the queen's fucking tongue if she does this again. Mm-hmm. That Viserys is very different than what we saw. Because what we saw was a guy going, oh, shucks, can't we get along? Come on, guys.
Yeah, this is a Viserys that has been in his twilight years for about the last decade and really just wants everybody to start cooperating so we can, because even standing is a trial to him right now. Yes. He wants to secure his legacy. He wants all of his children and family to get along so he can be comfortable dying, secure in the thought that the Targaryens will last another 100 years. It's all he wants, and he is just desperate for everyone to cooperate so he can just die.
I sent you that quote from Viserys.
I know, and you were hoping for it.
Yeah,
you're not going to get it.
I was really hoping he would tell Allison, like, if you do that shit again, I'm going to take your tongue out. But he clearly, it's a very different character. Let's talk about the Allison Hightower character. All up until now, every time I mention the Hightowers, obligatory, contractually obligated, say hate the Hightowers, fuck the Hightowers, don't like the Hightowers. I think now the crowd can do it with me. I think all of our fans can do it with me. Because I'll tell you, that's a hateable fucking character they put on screen this episode.
Allison Hightower of the books, welcome to the party. We've missed you so much.
She fucking sucks, doesn't she, folks?
Well, and I appreciate that they've made the Allison Hightower we know with the books a transition of the character. And a realistic one, too. We saw the elements of that 10 years ago, and now with 10 years of basically assuming her father's mantle to protect herself without her father's there, yeah, she is a very deeply conniving, unpleasant, manipulative person. That is what she feels now she has to do to survive because she has adopted a under siege mentality that she can never lose. Because I love that we got to see Rhaenyra's marriage offer in this episode because it just so thoroughly laid out how sensible it was. Got to see to say, hey, let's marry our houses. We can bury the hatchet. And everyone at the table goes, genius. Wonderful idea.
And she basically says, I will not marry my children to that child with baseborn features.
Yes. And essentially told the king, get fucked. You're not doing it.
When I'm dead, it'll happen. That's literally what she says to him. That, by the way, not happening in the books, but yeah, fascinating. The very hateable fucking character.
Kristen Cole stepped into his hateableness quite a bit this episode too.
Dropping a C word in front of the queen. He's super comfortable with her, isn't he?
Well, I was worried last episode that he would just be entirely just an attack dog. He is. But he is an attack dog that has a certain degree of vengeance in his own heart and a certain degree of malevolence about him, too. Independent of the queen. Just, you know, expressing it on her side. And yeah, he used a lot of opportunities just to be a deeply, deeply partisan green with a desire to, you know, humiliate, hurt, and harm all he could with respect to Rhaenyra's house.
Yeah, he really sucks. I do appreciate that they gave... And obviously, we're only going to get one encounter between Sir Criston Cole and Harwin Strong. They let Harwin Strong get the better of him. Does not happen in the books. Sir Criston Cole kicks his ass in the books. I appreciate that because Harwin gets a W before he gets burned alive. So that's nice.
He gets a W and an L at the same time because Cole was purposely baiting him to do that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, but I just didn't... I didn't want to see broken bones. I didn't like that. I never liked that part of the story. That always frustrated me.
Yeah, I mean, we got to see Harwin... in a great light this episode. I mean, the guy had this is the one episode we got to see a lot of his screen time. The actor did very well with the role, and I felt a lot of degree of sympathy and complexity with respect to how he was expressing himself. And I liked him, and I'll miss him. I will certainly miss both him and his father in terms of characters in this story. They both did a great job with their roles and were wonderfully portrayed, very similar to how I imagined them in the books. And it will be a shame to have them gone. What I was not expecting was that we would get a very clear answer as to why they were gone. And this is indeed one of the theories that's thrown around. It's usually pretty far down the list in terms of options, though.
All right, so we don't need to wait till the full recap. We can award Worst Person in Westeros to Larry Strong. Clubfoot, Worst Person in Westeros. Congratulations on your award today, sir.
I think he's actually here to accept it. This is like one of the people that actually shows up for the Golden Raspberries to collect their award. I think he's here right now. Hey, he's on stage.
He's the type of shitty that's like terrifying. He's terrifying. He's like, what is he? He's fucking Varys, Littlefinger, and then maybe like, I don't know, Stannis, all mixed into one. He's a fucking scary character. I did not, when I read the book, and I, you know, obviously learned of the fire at Harrenhal, under no circumstance did I think Larry's Clubfoot did that. That really surprised me. And then, of course, Lena's death at the end really surprised me, too.
I mean, we knew Lena was we knew Lena was not long for the Earth. The moment I saw she was pregnant, I was like, oh, I don't think she's making it out of this episode. But the fire at Harrenhal, we knew it was going to happen at some point. It's a very important part of it. But there's a long list of possibilities that people ponder with respect to who caused it. Even in text, they're pondering what could have caused it. Was it just, you know, the curse of Black Heron? Was it Viserys Viserys himself who ordered it?
Viserys could have done it, yeah.
That's a very popular theory, just, you know, to fully banish the rumors. Was it actually Rhaenyra that did it? That's another popular theory, just to, you know, fully cut off any possible challenge to the parentage of her children. Alicent is rumored to possibly do it, but no one's ever really connected, or at least it's not as common to connect Larry Strong to it himself to murder his own family. Kinslaying. And he does it with just such a casual little smile on his face. It's like, oh, my queen, I understood I could read between the lines. I knew exactly what you wanted. Don't worry. I'll accept your reward in time. And I'm going to go back to sniffing this flower, because that's apparently my trope I do in every scene I'm in.
And then she looks at him like, what kind of fucking monster do I have here? But her, because fuck the Hot Towers, hate the Hot Towers, nobody likes the Hot Towers, will not dismiss him because she's like, I can use this. I can use this in the future. I just need to be a little bit more careful about what I say.
For a woman who was like lecturing Rhaenyra on the purposes of decorum and maintaining, you know, the standards that are expected of us all, let's consider her two allies in this episode. Kristen Cole, which I'm going to say, I'm frustrated that we just did a time jump there. I told you they wouldn't. Not bothered to explain that at all.
Right.
But Kristen Cole, a guy who got the job for her after murdering somebody on the floor of a wedding hall, violating all rules with respect to guest right. That's one. And now, Larry Strong, who just committed kinslaying. The two biggest crimes in Westeros are the ones that she has shackled her ship to.
And apparently now we're going to call Otto back because Lionel Strong. By the way, Lionel Strong deserved better. Absolutely deserved better.
Absolutely.
What a shitty way for him to have to go. I was a little bummed that we never got to see any sort of warmness or maybe like a, even like a romantic scene between Rhaenyra and Harwin Strong, because she really,
we got a little.
They made it perfect. Like in the books, it's a little bit more ambiguous. It's perfectly clear in the show that they're Harwin's children. I just wish that we'd have got a little bit more time with the two of them, but I guess they had to, they're moving fast.
They're moving. I did like the scenes we got of them though. The scenes once they were alone in a room together, when he was holding the baby or when he was saying goodbye, were surprisingly tender for just the little bit we got of them. Both just driven by very, very quality acting on the part of both of the actors with respect to that. So that was well done. Question for you. How do you feel, just because we've always been talking about Vhagar on the screen, one thing I really liked about Vhagar is how much she, in some ways, looked like Viserys. In terms of that aged, pockmarked skin kind of effect. There seemed to be a bit of a common element done there, and I think that is a genius decision to pick this hoary, crusty, can fly when it damn well feels like a dragon, and also the aged and dying king in sort of parallel, particularly given his willful estrangement from dragons and dragon riders.
Yeah, I mean, Vhagar kind of looks like, and, you know, I saw a dragon in the trailer that I thought was Vhagar and ended up being Vhagar. It looks like sort of just chiseled out of stone. It looks like some of the blocks from the Pyramid of Giza just sort of formed together and created a dragon. That because it's like no bright colors. It's like an old like kind of brownish color almost. It almost looks dusty.
Yeah, I loved when Lady Lena walked up to it when its eye was closed, and for a moment you couldn't tell if it was actually a dragon or if it was like a piled rock slide that was right there next to it, just because it looked like it was part of the landscape. And then it opens its eyes, and I was like, oh shit, there's a dragon there. This is like the stone dragon that Melisandre imagines that she can wake up at the wall or at Dragonstone if she can just sacrifice somebody with the king's blood at any given time.
They did a phenomenal job making the dragons look different, because obviously in the original series, all three look alike. There is canon reasons they all three look alike, by the way, because they're all from the same clutch of eggs, but all these dragons look different. Vhagar looked very different. I was very happy with the depiction of Vhagar. I also like the opening scene. It's so clear how big Vhagar is. And I knew they succeeded because my wife, who knows nothing about any of these dragons, when she saw the saddle on Vhagar and saw the just the size, she went, oh, like she kind of like oh, oh, it was like taken aback. And I was like, okay, they've succeeded with showing the size of Vhagar. So good job.
Question I got to ask, because, you know, I hate all child actors, just despise them, you know, want to throw them off a cliff, all kinds of things. How did you feel about the child actors in this episode? We had a bevy of them. We've got, you know,
Jacarys and Aegon.
We've got seven new child actors, ignoring the babies, but seven ones that actually had lines this episode.
Honestly,
how'd you feel?
Honestly, I thought they all did well. I mean,
I did too.
Yeah, I thought they all did good. Yeah. I mean, they didn't give them a lot, right? And what they gave them was
they were conservative, which is a good call.
And by the way, anybody wondering, like, what